From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Well, our connection this hour was made with a tree. A tree that has stood for more than 246 years and survived windstorms, blizzards, droughts, and dogs. And yet this tree needs some help. Helping this tree is a big-time community effort, and it is one of the efforts we are highlighting in our monthly conversation with guests who come from sometimes grassroots organizations. Sometimes we're talking to individuals who are doing a lot of different kinds of work in our community. Now, this time of year, there's a lot of people helping those in the most need in our community, and there's a lot to discuss this hour. We are starting with this iconic tree, and Bob Freese is a conscious leader coach and advocate for the bicentennial tree. Bob, welcome to the program. How are you?
Thank you, Evan. I am fine, and thank you so much to you and your team for giving voice to this cause. It's really super.
Well, let's start with, what is the bicentennial tree?
Well, the bicentennial tree is in the front yard at Transfiguration Lutheran Church in Irondequoit. From what the arborist told us, that this tree was growing at the time of the American Revolution. You know, back before there was a Culver Road, maybe there was a footpath there, who knows. And it's 246 years old and it needs some work. We were told that it needs an irrigation system. We need to remove the concrete sidewalks and put in permeable concrete so the water gets down to the roots. Do some heavy-duty landscaping, deep mulching, start bringing in specialty fertilizers, and then, you know, we want to keep the tree going. And it's been with us for a long time.
You feel like probably a lot of people have seen this tree without realizing which one we were talking about right at the top of the show, huh?
Well, every time you go north on Culver Road and going to Seabreeze, and there's a lot of traffic that heads north on Culver Road, people go by this tree, and you know, you got to think that hundreds of thousands of upstate New York people have gone by this tree, and it just sits there providing shade and acorns for the squirrels, and you know, it's been in our lives long before we were around. And so neighbors have donated to the tree. The congregation has taken care of the tree for all these years. However, it's gotten to a point where it's more than we as a small church can take care of it. So we're reaching out to the community and friends to say, help us out. We want to keep this thing around. You know, it's really, the tree is part of the community, and it's all of our tree. It's been here before any of us were here, and it was here when the country was born. So we think that's really, it's really cool, and we want to turn it into a community thing. It's something that we can all be proud of.
When you think about, you know, a tree that takes us all the way back to the roots of the country, I mean, 246 years old, there isn't a whole lot that is a kind of living connective tissue that has well outlived us and our grandparents and their grandparents and takes us to a time when it was a very, very different world. How often do you think about that when you're kind of in the presence of a tree like this, Bob? How often are you thinking about that?
Well, we think about that and we say, you know, wow, there's a whole lot of history here and that's important and that's cool. And I also think about 54 years from now, the future has come up in our discussions, because won't it be cool to be 54 years from now, and I don't know if I'll be here, for people to stand around and look at this tree and say, the people of this community did the right thing at the tricentennial of this country and kept it going. Because you're right, it is connective tissue that there's only a few of these around. And we can actually do something with it. We can do something for it and we can do it together, which I find absolutely cool. There's nothing in it other than doing the right thing as a community for now and for the future. And it's fun.
We're talking to Bob Freese, who is an advocate for the bicentennial tree. This is part of our conversation this hour. Many conversations. It's going to be a fast-moving hour as we talk to people across our community, engage in a number of different efforts here. So Remind people exactly what you need here. What do you need next, and how do you do it here, Bob?
Right now we need funding. We have a GoFundMe set up, and you can look up Help Save Our Bicentennial Tree with the Transfiguration Lutheran Church. People can also send me an email. It's tlctree200@gmail.com. Again, tlctree200@gmail.com. The TLC comes from Transfiguration Lutheran Church, so we just shorten it to TLC. And you can look us up on Facebook, help us out, be interested, follow us, help be part of this as we grow it into something big, and watch, look forward, and be part of a project that's going to go on, we hope, starting in the spring. And we're moving a lot of concrete, we're doing the right things, and we're keeping a landmark in upstate New York healthy for the next who knows how long.
You know, Bob,
it'd be nice to be able to present it.
Yeah, I know this was one of the ones mentioned that we had Justin Murphy from the Democrat and Chronicle on the program, you know, months ago when he had, was writing about essentially kind of cataloging the most interesting trees in our city, along with, of course, his effort to understand kind of inequity in green space. But it became this really interesting quest to figure out, like, where are people's favorite trees? And everybody, it seemed like, there was some tree in our lives somewhere that you can... If I ask every listener, think of a tree from your childhood or a tree in your life that is different than all the others, there usually is one that comes to mind. Why do you think that is, Bob? I know it's kind of a strange question, but that program got an avalanche of feedback. Why do you think people care so much?
Well, I'm a camper, and maybe it has to do with we just have a natural connection to nature. And trees have been part of the American world forever. We carve our names in them. We climb them. We look out over the landscape from them. And we use them to build our houses. Trees do so much for us. They give us shade. They provide food for the animals. And it's a part of our life. So, and I think what you hit on is really an important point. There's something about trees for each one of us, and it's personal. And here's an opportunity to make a difference for a very old tree that has been around for a lot of people.
All right, one more time before we let you go. How do people get in touch with you to help out?
Send an email to tlctree200@gmail.com or look up TLC Growing in Grace is our website. Find us on Facebook, Transfiguration Lutheran Church. Be part of something bigger than yourself that feeds your soul.
Thank you, Bob. And, you know, I'm looking at a piece that David Andrietta wrote back in 2016 for the Democrat and Chronicle, A Giving Tree Falls in Ontario. And it's amazing the emotional connection to our communities that a lot of these trees have. It's powerful stuff. Thank you, Bob. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Evan. Good luck to you, and have a great day. Thanks for doing this on your radio show.
You got it. You're That's awesome. Bob Freese, an advocate for the bicentennial tree in Irondequoit. Our next guest is the Vice President for Communications and Engagement for the Alliance for the Great Lakes. Jennifer Caddick is on the line with us now. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks for making the time. Tell us what the Alliance for the Great Lakes does.
Sure. The Alliance for the Great Lakes is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization working across the region to protect our most important resource, which is the waters of the Great Lakes. So we're an environmental group working to protect the Great Lakes through advocacy, volunteerism, and other projects.
And what is the biggest focus and challenge for you right now?
Yeah, so the Alliance works on a couple of different fronts. On the policy side, we work at the federal and state levels to make sure that the policies and laws and regulations are in place to protect the Great Lakes, including Lake Ontario and your backyard, and also to make sure that we're fighting off the policies that might harm the Great Lakes. And then on the people side, we have significant volunteer programs that send volunteers out to clean up beaches, educate people about the Great Lakes, and more. So there are a lot of issues facing the Great Lakes, and working on those both from the policy standpoint and from the volunteer standpoint.
What is the biggest trouble with invasive species right now?
Yeah, so a lot of folks probably in your area are familiar with invasive species like zebra mussels and round gobies.
Gobies,
and those were brought
yes.
in yeah, the gobies, right? and so those were brought in by ocean-going ships that came in through the St. Lawrence Seaway. And so we work with to advocate at the federal level to make sure the laws and regulations are in place to clean up those ships, to make sure they're not bringing in more invasive species. And we've made really good progress on that. The biggest concern we have right now is the invasive carp that you might heard of that's working its way up the Mississippi River. People probably know of it from those, they seem like silly YouTube videos. Those are the fish that jump up out when they're startled in the water, these huge kind of ugly carp, and, you know, flop into somebody's boat. And those are prevalent in the Mississippi River Basin and are very close to getting into Lake Michigan and then would spread around the Great Lakes. And so we're working hard to make sure that those fish don't get into the Great Lakes. And we're working with the federal government to find funding and build some protections in the Chicago area to make sure that doesn't happen. And so even that's over in the Chicago area, we want to make sure that that doesn't get into other lakes like Lake Ontario.
And can you also talk a little bit about the challenge of algal blooms? We hear about that in the Finger Lakes a little bit more than I do in the Great Lakes, but what's going on with the Great Lakes with that?
Yeah, so algal blooms are a serious problem in Lake Erie, particularly over in the western part of the lake. Every year that part of the Great Lakes has an algal bloom so big you can see it from outer space on satellite photos. And that's caused by nutrients that are coming off of farm fields, very similar to the problems that you're having in the Finger Lakes area. The concern we have, and we're working hard to get rules and regulations in place to stop that farm runoff that causes those algal blooms, is that with climate change, the Great Lakes are warming, and that makes them more susceptible to algal blooms because the algae likes warmer water. So we're keeping an eye on that, and they're starting to pop up in other areas of the Great Lakes as well. So we're working hard to make sure that those don't happen and that we fix that problem over in Lake Erie.
Talking to Jennifer Kadek, Vice President for Communications and Engagement for the Alliance for the Great Lakes. And you know, I know you've got headquarters in Chicago, but offices in New York, Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, an office in D.C. So I do wonder, given, you know, this is, we think about issues related to the Great Lakes. We kind of think about Rochester, maybe think about Cleveland. I mean, this is a large region. And in a time of climate change, I wonder how much your attention is or is not on a future in which the region is almost its own draw for, I'm not trying to be flippant, but climate refugees, you know, will have to find places. How prominent is that?
That's a serious issue that we're focused on. We know that the Great Lakes, right, are the world's largest surface freshwater system. And as the rest of the world, particularly parts of our country, like the Southwest, get drier and drier, people are going to need to find areas that have more water. And that's one of the reasons why we think our policy work at the federal level is so important to address those problems like algal blooms, right? We have to make sure that that water is protected, not only for today, right, so that we have safe drinking water and we can recreate on the lakes, but we know that this water source, you know, Lake Ontario and all five Great Lakes are going to become even more important as we deal with the impacts of climate change.
So what do you need most from folks right now?
You know, people can get involved in three ways. One, as a volunteer, and we have a lot of volunteers on Lake Ontario in the Rochester area with our Adopt a Beach program, where people go out and do beach cleanups, which keeps plastic pollution out of our lakes. You also can sign up to be a volunteer ambassador, which is a great way to educate others about the importance of the Great Lakes and what we can do to help them. You can also sign up to be an advocate, and, you know, we send out action alerts. You can write your members of Congress, your state legislators about these issues to make sure that decision makers are focusing on the Great Lakes. And then, of course, you can always donate. You know, we are a nonprofit organization relying on donations from people around the region and the country to protect the lakes.
Okay, and online where?
Yeah, you can visit us at greatlakes.org. That'll have information on all those programs. And we're also on, of course, on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Jennifer, no thank you to all the Gobies out there, but thank you to you and for your team for the work that you're doing. Thanks for taking the time to join the program today.
Thanks so much for including us. We appreciate it.
That's Jennifer Caddick, Vice President for Communications and Engagement for the Alliance for the Great Lakes. And on this Friday, we're talking to individuals and organizations that are trying to make change in our community that aren't always in the spotlight. And our next guest is the Minister for Outreach at Asbury First United Methodist Church. Reverend Pat DuPont is with us. Reverend DuPont, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. One of our colleagues told us about the new outreach center that's been in the works for a while, and we'd love for you to tell us about it.
Yeah, so we've operated a number of outreach programs that try to serve the neighborhood and the community for some of them for decades. But we recently were getting close to completing about a year-long renovation to expand and renovate a building on our campus to house all of these different ministries in one place. So it'll be kind of a one-stop shop for hot meals, showers, laundry access, haircuts, clothing and household goods, a medical clinic that's a partnership with U of R, groceries, and a community garden.
And it's going to be there on East Avenue?
Yeah, 1010 East Avenue.
Okay. And put us in the geography of that. That's how close is that to your main building there, or where is that near?
Yeah, so we've got three buildings on East Avenue, 1010, 1040, and 1050. 1040 is in the middle. It's kind of the big main church building with the high steeple. And just towards downtown from that, the next building over is 1010, where the Community Outreach Center will be.
What's the timeline for the Community Outreach Center?
We had some construction delays and supply chain problems. We were hoping that we'd be open now, but it's looking more like maybe early February.
Okay. And are you over the line with what you need to get it done, or do you have community needs still here?
We're ready to finish the project and get it done. We can always use both monetary donations and donations of different resources to run the programs. But as far as completing the building, we're good to go.
Okay. And I know for decades now, you've responded to the needs in the community, trying to do a lot of what you'll do at the Outreach Center, but doing it in different ways. What are the biggest needs that you have for serving the community, especially over this next, 4 weeks into the new year?
Yeah, so like I said, we can always use both monetary donations and donations of things like food and clothing and hygiene products that we can get out into the community. But our biggest need is volunteer support. I think the big advantage of the Community Outreach Center, having kind of one building where we're doing all this stuff, is that it can build community and it can be a place where all different kinds of people are coming through and building relationships, and we can be having conversations and talking about potential long-term solutions to the problems that we're offering kind of some short-term support around. So the biggest thing that people can do is come on down and hang out in the space, have a cup of coffee, have a meal, sign up to volunteer. There's any number of ways that we can get people plugged in.
I know yours is one of the organizations where I've heard neighbors going, dropping off clothes and things for people in need. This is a time of year people are thinking a lot about clothing donations, et cetera. Does something stand out among the others? Do you need simply volunteer time? Is money the best donation? What stands out the most right now, Reverend?
I would say volunteer time. Like I said, right now we're still finishing up the construction and the programs are kind of waiting with bated breath to get into the space and get set up. But early in the new year, we will need volunteers to staff all these different programs. And like I said, I think personal encounter and presence is what really transforms hearts and has the potential to transform the broader community. So what we need is people to come and be part of what we're doing.
One more question. I'll let you go, Reverend. We've talked to some of your colleagues over the years, the remarkable Stephen Cady, among many others, and some of your congregants. And it really is a beautiful community there. I also know that worldwide, the United Methodist Church has been dealing with a fracture in recent years. And I wonder how you see the health of it these days.
I mean, if we're going to talk about the health of the broad institution of the United Methodist Church or any church, the spiritual health, I would say there's problems and there's issues. That's no secret, right? We know that churches have not always looked like they're supposed to look. But I think for us here in Rochester, we're trying to focus on the heart of both the Christian movement and the Methodist movement, which is about daily, how we live, day-to-day, the decisions we make, and how we stand in solidarity with the poor and the most marginalized members of our community. And I think if we can focus on that, then I think we're doing okay.
Reverend Pat DuPont, Minister for Outreach at Asbury First United Methodist Church. Good luck with the new Outreach Center on East Avenue. Thank you for the work that you do to serve the community, Reverend.
Thanks so much.
Wonderful to have him. And if you're just joining us on this Friday, we're having quick moving conversations with people across our community, so you are aware of a number of efforts underway to help people in need in different ways. And Kimberly Rulo is our next guest, coordinator of Rock Made with Love, who is on the line with us now. Kimberly, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today, Evan?
Very good. Tell us what Rock Made with Love is.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show.
Sure.
Rock Made with Love is an event. This is the first year I've done it. And what it is it's a yarn bombing, which is where we go out in the community. And instead of just putting up various things made out of yarn, what we're doing is we're putting out hats and scarves and gloves and mittens that are all handmade and putting them around the community so people can take them. So I wanted to coordinate that with libraries. So right now, the event, which will be on Saturday, December 17th, will be outside the Central Library downtown, the Charlotte Branch Library on Lake Avenue, the Maplewood Branch, which is over on Dewey and Augustine, and the Monroe Branch, which is over on Monroe Avenue.
That's December 17th, starting at 10 a.m. Items are going to be available at those locations, hats, scarves, gloves, yep. Socks, mittens, yes?
Yes, and they're all handmade by people in our community.
Did you call it a yarn bombing? Is that right?
Yeah, yarn bombing. So there's
it's my favorite kind of bombing, by the way. It's the best kind of bombing.
Mine too. I've been crafting for a while, and I wanted to do something because there seems to be, like, at least for me, there's been a lot of darkness lately. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do something where I could help out other people. And as I was looking at different projects out there as a crafter, I wanted to do something where I could make things for people. And I thought of my good friend Sandy, who was a school librarian, and we'd get together and crochet and watch the Bills games on Sundays. And Sandy would always donate her stuff to various organizations in Rochester. And I thought, you know what, this would be a cool way to honor her. And it's a cool way to get libraries involved too, because libraries do so much for our community.
Well, there's one part that I want to make sure I understand before I let you go. So you've got
Saturday,
December 17th is the day that starting that morning at the Charlotte Branch Library, Rochester Central Library, the Maplewood Branch, Rochester Refugee Resettlement Services as well. Is that right?
Yes. They're involved with us too.
And the Monroe Branch Library, all those locations starting December 17th are going to have these items. I mean, you're not making all of them on your own, are you, Kimberly?
No, I'm not. And I have a call out to the community. We are accepting donations until December 10th. And there's locations on our Facebook page as well as our Instagram. But very quickly, what they are Crafting for Good out in North Chi-Lai and So Green Rochester. Both those organizations have been huge helps in getting words out to the crafters in the community. Faith Lutheran Church on Browncroft in Penfield is also a donation point. Sue's Finishing Touch in Henrietta and the Maplewood, Monroe, and Charlotte Branch Libraries are also places where people can donate handmade things.
Okay, so there you go. And a lot of chances for people to do it, but they've got to donate by Saturday the 10th, next Saturday, 8 days from now.
Right.
Okay, there you go. Kimberly, this is an amazing effort. I think it's. I know it's going to help a lot of people. Have you set a goal in your own mind of what you'd like to accomplish?
My goal is to bring people together and keep them warm. And what's been really cool about it is the amount of people in our community already who have been donating items. So far, our last count is about 400 items, and I think that within the next week and a half, we're going to get more. And I've been working with kids who are doing like their senior capstone projects who are helping organize this. I have friends who are helping me out too, and just meeting people within our community who are chipping in to keep people warm. And to me, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I hope there's a connections effect coming your way with this, by the way. Before I let you go, then how are people going to get in touch with you or learn more?
Okay, so people can learn more. We have a Facebook page. It's Rock Made with Love, ROC, Made with Love. Our Gmail is rocmadewithlove@gmail.com. And our Instagram is rockmadewithlove. So I'd love if people want to reach out. We will need help installing the urn bombings too. So,
thank you, Kimberly. Good luck to you. And I know that your heart is in a beautiful place with this. I hope it's very successful for you.
Well, thank you so much.
That's Kimberly Rouleau, the coordinator of Rock Made with Love. Our next guest is the owner and founder of Gracious Dance, who's talking about empowerment dance classes. Rebecca Phelps is with us. Rebecca, thank you for making time for the program. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me. How are you?
Great. Tell us what Gracious Dance is and really what empowerment dance is all about.
Absolutely. So Gracious Dance is a dance studio that I started back in 2020, actually. But in 2021, we launched our empowerment dance programs, which are trauma-informed dance classes for survivors of domestic and sexual violence. So we offer a safe place for survivors to connect, move, and heal together. It's created a really, really awesome community and lots of growth and healing for that population. So it's been awesome to do.
And I know you're listed as a trauma-informed dance teacher, and that's important to the people you work with. What does that mean?
Absolutely. Great question. So it just means that in terms of the people that we're working with, we're very sensitive to the things that may affect them. So I've taken some courses in trauma-informed care so that I can be better educated to serve that population. So that might look like not touching or adjusting someone's placement in moving, or making sure to ask for consent in pretty much everything we do, just being sensitive to the needs of survivors of trauma.
And how many people are you working with at this point?
It fluctuates. We have had groups of up to like 10, but weekly, monthly, it really depends on how many we get to show up for our event. So sometimes it's groups of one or two, sometimes it's larger groups as well. But it's been really cool to meet a lot of really different, interesting people in the community and just move and heal as a group.
Unfortunately, there are every community in this country has people who might need this kind of an outlet, and empowerment dance classes meet the last Sunday of every month from 11:30 to 1. How do you find folks who might need this, and how do they find you typically, Rebecca?
Absolutely, yes. It is tragic that we have to have programs like this and that there are so many people in need, but in terms of finding other people, mostly my presence has been on social media. So I started to share kind of my story and my journey, and that brought together a following of people and created this group. So we really do a lot of stories and information on social media, so Instagram, Facebook, stuff like that, and through our website. So that's how we've connected.
When survivors of domestic or sexual violence find you and they come out and they get a chance to do this, what is the end result that you're hoping for in this kind of a process, Rebecca?
Absolutely. I mean, I think healing looks different for every single person that comes through our doors. Really, the goal is to just support them however we can. So we have people that they say, no, thank you. Like, I don't want to dance. I just want to come in and be a part of the community. That's okay. We have people that love the dance portion and want to stay connected to people, but don't necessarily want to share their story. And that's okay too. So really the goal is to bring awareness, to make sure people know that they aren't alone in their experiences, and to use movement as a form of healing. So connect them to a way to, as you said, like an outlet. And so use that for an outlet for them.
Where can people learn more about what you're doing?
Sure. So we do have a website, graciousdance.com, as well as we are on Instagram and Facebook at Gracious Dance.
Is there anything that you need from the community this time of year, or do you have what you need to do what you're doing?
Well, I really appreciate that question. We actually, we have just started working in a new space, which is very exciting, but we do accept donations and we do drives for survivors in the community. So bringing items like self-care items, stuff like that, as well as baskets for raffle items for our benefit show is really, really helpful, as well as just spreading awareness and sharing what we're doing so it can connect with the right people who need this.
Rebecca Phelps is the owner and founder of Gracious Dance. Rebecca, thank you for doing that, and thanks for coming on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me. Great meeting you. Thanks.
Great meeting you as well. And that's Rebecca Phelps. We'll take us only break of the hour, and we've got a lot more lined up in our last 20 minutes here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on the next Connections, after the horrifically anti-Semitic comments from Kanye West this week, we have questions about how to make sure that kind of commentary isn't viewed as funny or mainstream or normal in any way. How do you stop it from metastasizing? We'll talk about it Monday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our next guest is Colleen Bedford, one of the leaders of the Goodness Initiative. Colleen, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me today.
Tell us what the Goodness Initiative is.
So the Goodness Initiative is an organization that my friend Jamie Buss and I started about 9 years ago. And we try to connect communities together to help each other. And right now we're working on our main project of the year, which is called Making Spirits Bright.
Making Spirits Bright, right time for that. And you've got donations and drop-offs coming up here. So tell us all about what's going on there.
So Making Spirits Bright is an organization where we adopt families in the Rochester, Webster, mostly Monroe County area that we get from school counselors and poverty initiatives. They vet all the families for us. And we're a little bit different than most adoptive family organizations because we help the whole family and we don't just do toys. So we get them what they need, bedding, Christmas trees. We get donated mattresses. We get winter gear, boots, all sorts of stuff. And every year we try to help more families. This year right now we're at 44 families that we're helping. And we have groups and individual families that adopt out a whole family. And then we also have what's called our community list, which allows people to sign into our Sign Up Genius and pick out one or two gifts that they want to donate, and they drop it off to us. We are lucky that the DeMarco Group donated some space in Baytown Plaza in the Webster-Penfield area, so we no longer are working out of our basements. Our families are very happy about that. And it's just a great organization that helps people around here in need.
So listeners may find it more suitable to participate with your community list, or they might say, look, I'd love to be responsible for a family, or I guess the phrase would be to adopt a family. What's the process that people have to go through to do that?
So basically they email us at thegoodnessinitiative@gmail.com, and we give them an idea of what adopting a family looks like. And we try to give 4 needs and 3 wants to each person. So it's a lot of stuff. It's about 7 gifts per person. And we spell out to them exactly what it entails so that they know exactly what they're walking into. And then if they want to adopt a whole family, we ask them how many people they would like. And we try to match them up with a family size that works for them. Some people just want to adopt one person in a family. And so we get them a list of just one person. And then if they decide that adopting a person or a whole family is just too much, then off of the community list, they can choose what they would like to get, whichever items. And we've also partnered with Big Brothers and Big Sisters this year. So we're collecting items, and those are on the community list as well for things that they use with their Big Brothers and Big Sister program.
All right. So you mentioned an email. Is there a website to see all this stuff?
So to be honest with you, we could not afford a website.
Okay.
So we actually work off of Facebook mostly. And we have a little bit on Instagram, but we have a Facebook page. It's Making Spirits Brighter. And we do all of our communication through the Facebook page.
No problem. Making Spirits Brighter. You don't have to put in Rochester or anything like that?
No, it usually comes right up. It's Making Spirits Bright, and then it has like Christmas lights all around it, and that's our profile picture.
All right, and real quick, what's your deadline to get all of this stuff set up and then done?
So our dream is that everything gets here by December 7th. Our hope is that it gets here by the 10th or the 11th, And then we have volunteers that come in and help us wrap all these gifts, and we try to get them delivered by 6 days before Christmas so that Jamie and my families will still speak with us.
Colleen, this is it's a big effort. Dozens of families and a lot of people are going to have a beautiful holiday because of you guys. And I know that there's still a little time for people to find you. So it's Making Spirits Brighter on Facebook. And one more time, your email if people want to do it that way.
It's thegoodnessinitiative@gmail.com.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks so much for having us on.
That's Colleen Bedford, one of the leaders of the Goodness Initiative, and a direct way to help people. If you're thinking, you know what, I would love to do that this year. There you go, Making Spirits Brighter on Facebook. Our next guest is the co-founder of a program called Vertical Boost. Trevor Shushan is with us. Trevor, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks so much for having me.
It's great to have you. Tell us what Vertical Boost is all about.
So this is a charity, nonprofit. We're pursuing 501c3 right now, but that's a little difficult to get. We're going to get there, though. So we started this charity back in the spring when we saw a need for shoes in our community. Both of us play basketball, and we played a lot of games in the city of Rochester and around the area. And we noticed that there is a need for basketball shoes, and then not only that, but just back-to-school shoes in general. So we decided to start a shoe drive over the summer with the help of a lot of local basketball camps. So the help of Coach Fitch at Fairport, who really, really helped us get off the ground starting with a shoe drive there. And we also had a collection box at Jack Leisure Basketball Camp and U of R Basketball Camp with Coach Flockerzy. So thank you to all of them. Couldn't have been possible without them. We ended up collecting over 200 pairs of shoes from that, gave over 80 pairs away at the Pines of Parrington, which is an under-resourced area of our community in Fairport. And it was a really great experience to give so many away there. And we've finished distributing the rest just this past week. So,
what is the focus at this particular moment? I mean, I know you've been working on scholarships, different awards, and all this kind of stuff. What's top of the list for you right now?
So right now we just started toy and coat drive in collaboration with Primetime 585, which is another nonprofit in our area. They're doing some really great stuff, so make sure to check them out too. So we're working with them to collect coats here in Fairport and distribute those back in the city of Rochester. So we're bringing coats and toys, and those go to Primetime, and they're going to help us distribute them throughout five Rochester City schools, and also the sickle cell unit at Golisano Children's Hospital.
Are you stepping out of class to join us right now? Is that what's going on?
I am, yeah. I'm in physics
like
right
I'm
now.
Literally hearing your school behind you. That's really great.
Sorry. Let me know if the audio is...
No. Listen, I'll let you get... I know you don't mind being pushed out of class. I'll get you back to class in a minute. Tell me why, though, Trevor, why did you decide to get involved with these kinds of efforts in the first place?
So it really started last spring. My brother and I, we just noticed how much we could help people if we put our mind to it. I helped coach Unified Basketball last year, which is this program where you help kids with, disabilities in our school. They played sports, and we got to play basketball with them. It was a really cool experience to help out with that, and I kind of realized just seeing how much the parents appreciated it. We can really, really help people if we put our minds to it. And obviously the world's not perfect and it probably won't ever be, but we're trying to put our best foot forward and make it a better place.
That is really cool. How old are you, Trevor?
I just turned 17.
Just turned 17. I mean, really what you're talking about is kind of looking around the world and saying, I have it pretty good. And I can do more than I'm currently doing to make sure others have it better. I mean, it's pretty simple, but it's also really big of a barely 17-year-old. I'm really impressed, man. And I wish you well. Tell people where they can learn more about Vertical Boost and what you're doing.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. So we are on our website is verticalboost.org, and all the links to our social media pages are on there too. So make sure to check those out.
It's verticalboost.org. You got a physics class waiting for you. How's physics going?
Yeah. It's really good, actually. I love physics. That's what I'm planning on majoring in college. So,
awesome. Yeah. Really great stuff. Hey, Trevor, thanks for what you're doing. I'm really impressed, and I wish you well with it.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Trevor Shushan is the co-founder of Vertical Boost. He's going back to class, so I'm going to welcome our next guest joining us. It's Jeffrey Rogers, who is, you might know him as the host of the GSL show, but we're talking about a toy drive. Jeffrey, welcome to the program. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's nice to have you, and I know you got an upcoming toy drive. It's the right time of year for that. Tell us about what you're working on with this toy drive.
Well, this year I partnered up with Save Rochester to give over hundreds of toys this year. So that's our goal. And, you know, I really wanted to do this out of my kindness, my heart. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of kids in the city who can't get the Christmas that they, you know, they want. And I want to make that possible this year.
All right. So, I mean, it's a big dream and a big goal there. So how can people help specifically? Where do they need to go? What do they need to do?
Yes, so they can register. If they want to donate, they can visit GSLshow.com/toy drive or Rochester or SaveRochester.org/toy drive as well. And then you can register there or donate there as well. So it's very simple. Or they can just message the GSL pages and we'll further instruct them.
Now, GSL stands for Jeffrey Show Live. How's that going?
Doing very good. I mean, this year I've gained over thousands of followers this year, broke record numbers for GSO show. So it's surprisingly doing more than what I expected.
We first met you a number of years ago when, you know, you decided you wanted to try to tell stories in your own community as well. And I know you've continued with that. What's your dream for the future, Jeffrey?
Well, my dream for the future is to build, I've been building it for many years, but to have a building, like an official building on its own, and to hire a bunch of youth who want to become reporters and build up from there and be the next Fox News or CNN or ABC News or, you know, CBS News or whatever. That's where I see a GSO show at.
That's a big, big ambition there. In the meantime, how are you going to get there? What's your career plan for the interim?
Well, right now I'm attending school. I'm attending MCC, and then I'm doing 2 years at MCC, and then I'm going to finish the other two, hopefully at Brockport College or university now.
And in the meantime, I know you're engaged with these kind of efforts like the Toy Drive to help the community. You know, some of your reporting, you've talked about, you know, living in an area that has more challenge, sometimes higher crime or more poverty. How important is it that kids can have a chance to wake up and feel like, you know, whether it's Christmas or any other big day, that they have something to look forward to?
Well, I think it's very important, you know, especially with violence occurring so much this year, and more children have died this year as well. Again, we look at 16-year-olds and 12-year-olds getting shot and killed in the city of Rochester. So I think it's very important, and not only important, but it means a lot to a child, when especially a kid, because I know this because I was a kid and still growing up, you know. And so I think, you know, the more involved we get, the more you know, positive outcomes we see, you know, the less violence we see, and the more involved you're involved, the more involvement you have with kids and the youth. Again, those records and that data will show that, you know, violence will continue to trigger down as we, you know, get involved again with more kids and more youth and engage and talk to people and really just sit down and touch the soul of the kids.
Amen. Amen. So one more time, let people know where they can learn more and what they need to do next here, Jeffrey.
They can visit GSLshow.com to find out more about me and my latest local news stories. You can visit GSLshow.com/news. And, you know, it's very simple to find me. I'm all over the place. I'm going to continue to put myself out there. This company has grown so much in the last 2 years. The pandemic kind of helped out the company as well. So, you know, I'm continue to do this. And, you know, people want to support, they can donate to GSL Show as well at gslshow.com/donate. And, yeah.
And you'll learn more about the toy drive as well there. Good luck, Jeffrey. Thank you for joining the program.
Thank you so much.
That's Jeffrey Rogers, host of the GSL Show. It's been a fast-moving hour, and our final guest of the hour is a support group coordinator for Rise Up Rochester. Aretha Rogers is with us. Aretha, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Aretha. And I know Rise Up Rochester, you know, we've had a chance to talk to some folks from the organization over the years, and it's so important. Tell people what Rise Up Rochester is, and then let us know about your annual Christmas party coming up.
All right, Rise Up Rochester is a nonprofit organization where we help the community. We mostly service families that have experienced trauma or a death of a loved one. And our Christmas party that we have, this is going to be our seventh year, where we try to have a party for the children that have, like I said, been through trauma as well as lost a family, a murder victim. And, you know, we just want to celebrate them and let them know that we love them. And we just want to love on the children because, you know, we always do something for the adults, but we decide to do something for the children.
Oh, my gosh. It is so important. I mean, if we think about the holidays can be a very wonderful time. They could also be a very lonely time. They can be a lonely time for people in a lot of different circumstances. But most of us will not know what it is like. Most of us will not know what it is like to be a child of someone who died by homicide. And this kind of effort, just making sure the kids are prioritized this time of year, boy, it is so vital. Saturday, December 17th is the seventh annual Christmas party for children of homicide victims. And what can people do, Aretha? What do you want the community to know about how they can help you?
We are servicing older kids now. We was doing 12 and under, but like the other kids, if they want to do a monetary thing so we can get gift cards for the older kids, that would be great, because as I stated, I'm a mother who lost a child to gun violence, and my son had a daughter as well. So if like I said, if we can get some monetary things so we can get gift cards for the children or whatever they want to donate, if they want to donate a gift card, that'll be great as well.
All right. And if they want to donate a gift card, for example, or anything else that you might need, how do they find you? How do they do that?
They can call our Rise Up phone. It's 585-454-3060. Or when they call, they can set up a time and we can meet them at our building, 244 South Plymouth Avenue.
585-454-3060. Where do kids like gift cards from these days?
If they have games, you know, they Walmart sells the gift cards for the games, or we can just give them regular gift cards and then the parents could take them shopping and they can just get whatever they want.
Okay. How's Target?
Target is fine.
Target is fine. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always trying to keep up on what kids like. I never feel like I know, Aretha. You know, the older I get, right. I feel like I'm more out of touch. And I also want to ask you, how are you doing? I mean, I know you yourself, you've gone through such loss. How are you doing, Aretha?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been 13 years, but I take it day by day. And by me joining Rise Up and helping with the support group and everything, it helps me because we meet a lot of families that we probably would never meet if this wouldn't have happened, and we have developed some friendships as well.
Yeah, boy, this year has been really hard, hasn't it? I mean, for people who are maybe not closely in touch with what's been going on in our community, how would you describe what this year has been like?
This year has been very traumatic. I mean, so many deaths. Every day you hear someone is murdered. Because our family is experiencing a death right now, and it's kind of hard, but we try to take it day by day. It's not easy, but we have to try to take it day by day.
What do you think is driving the violence in the last year, Aretha?
I'm not really sure. I know they try to blame it on COVID, but I don't think it's COVID. It could be something else. You know, we have to try to reach these, especially these youngs that are committing these crimes. We have to try to reach them to see what's going on and try to have them talk. And then if there's something that they need, we probably, the community and everybody should try to help them out and try to steer them the right way. Because I'm seeing a lot of young children are being murdered or being the ones that are murdering someone else. And that is very devastating to me.
Okay. And lastly, how is this community doing when it comes to dealing with guns, illegal guns, and gun violence?
Well, we're trying to
like I said, speak to the youth and let them know it's a better way instead of picking up a gun. You know, talk it out. You know, try to go to mentor, you know, get someone to mentor them and try to solve these issues, because guns are not the answer. And I just wish that there's a way that they can try to figure out where these guns coming from and how these guns are coming into our community.
Aretha Rogers is a support group coordinator for Rise Up Rochester. Their event coming up is on Saturday, December 17th. It is the 7th annual Christmas party for children of homicide victims. That is an event that everybody wishes did not have to happen, but it does. And the reason that some of these kids do feel love is because of efforts like from Aretha and this group. So, Aretha, I hope people find you. And, again, the number to call is 585-454-3060. Good luck. Merry Christmas. Thank you for what you're doing, Aretha.
Thank you. And you guys have a great one and a great weekend as well.
What an amazing woman. And a tremendously important organization, Rise Up Rochester. That's Aretha Rogers. From the whole team at Connections, I hope that this hour has been illuminating for you as you think about different needs in our community, a wide range of needs, and people doing the work to meet those needs. And so wherever you are, I hope it's a great weekend for you. We're going to be back all next week with our winter membership campaign, getting ready to talk to you about WXXI and having another great year here. But I hope it's a good, peaceful one for you. From the whole team here, it's Evan and Megan and Rob saying thanks for listening, and we will talk to you Monday on Member Supported Public Radio.